Well, good morning again, everyone. We're continuing our look this morning at the narrative of the book of Ruth. Ruth is one of those books whose riches never seem to run out, as I've said before. You can read it in 10 minutes and relish it for a lifetime. On the surface, it's a simple and very short story about two ordinary Iron Age widows trying to find a way forward in a spiritually decaying culture and in an agonizing, potentially crushing mix of famine and poverty, barrenness, displacement, migration, sexual threat, exclusion, sexism, racism, and grief. At a deeper level, this is a book about self-giving love in action. It's about loving kindness. Today we look at a remarkable turn of events in Ruth's life. But before we do so, let me ask you a question. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt stuck and it really matters? Maybe all of us have felt a bit stuck indoors and limited in what we could do over the last year or so. Without minimizing the effect that can have on our mental health, there are so many for whom the sense of stuckness, if I may, has been perhaps more intense. You keep applying for jobs and don't get a reply. Or you make the interviews but still can't secure a job. Taking a stage further for some, you can't make ends meet. Or you have some health issue that the medical profession is struggling to get to the bottom of, or you can't access treatment at this time. Or you can't visit an elderly relative, or you can't get the correct immigration status to work and support yourself or your family. The system ought to work, but it isn't working for you. What options are open to you? In our story so far, Boaz's generous change to his harvest practice certainly ensured that Naomi and Ruth would have had enough to eat day by day, and even enough to keep them going for a while once the harvest was over. He provided something of a food bank for them, you might say. However, it was far from providing any kind of longer-term security for the widows. Ruth remained unmarried, and there is no one to preserve Elimelech's name, the family name, which would have provided for Naomi's care in her old age and for Ruth's care. God had repeatedly stated his concern for the widow and the poor in general. Leviticus chapter 24, verse 35 is an example of that. But had his covenant community, his people, taken any significant steps to reflect that concern for widow and poor? At this point, the future doesn't look particularly bright for Naomi and Ruth. What options do these vulnerable women have? What options do oppressed, systematically disadvantaged women have when life-threatening poverty strikes? Let's think of that in our context, not only in low-income countries today, but in Europe. There are apparently 64,000 female prostitutes today in Britain, 41% of them from overseas. Desperate times may require desperate measures, but these usually come with dangerous risks, and they are dangerous risks for these women. In Ruth chapter 3, verses 3 to 8, the writer uses language that highlights the possibility of a sexual encounter between Ruth and Boaz. Desperate times, taking desperate measures. Lie down, can obviously suggest some sexual availability, and the word for feet in this passage can actually be used euphemistically for something else. Furthermore, threshing floors, separate as they were from the main part of the village, were associated with sexual immorality and prostitution. Look at Hosea chapter 9, verse 1 for an example of that. In addition, the narrator emphasizes Boaz's and Ruth's gender by progressively dropping all adjectives, so that they're left with the man and the woman alone at night in a secluded spot. In the end, this heightening of the possibility of immorality serves to reinforce the sexual restraint and purity that both these characters exhibited. They acted honorably, I believe. So let's look at the narrative into which this encounter drops. We've already said that the future doesn't look bright for these two vulnerable women. In line with the culture of the day, verses 1 to 6, Naomi takes steps to try and arrange a marriage for Ruth to provide a home and security and love for her, as parents did for their daughters in Old Testament times. Naomi has been giving careful thought to the best approach to Boaz in his capacity as a near relative. Her hope was that he would take familial responsibility as a kinsman or guardian redeemer and marry Ruth. But he hasn't so far made any move towards doing so, and hence Naomi decides to put the pressure on by hatching a desperate plan that would require considerable courage by Ruth. Ruth was to wash and to dress attractively, to be at her best for the evening encounter. At the appointed hour, under the cover of darkness, Ruth was to await undetected Boaz's return from a night on the tiles. He'd be fairly jolly when he arrived, I'm sure. When he is asleep, she was to uncover his feet and lie near them, ready to present her plea. That euphemism, uncovering his feet, we're not sure. Anyway, let's not dwell on that. Verses 7 to 15 outline the midnight meeting. We can also interpret the fact that Ruth lay at his feet as a position of submission. We know that, don't we? When someone lies at your feet, they're showing submission. Ruth lays there awaiting Boaz's waking. He wakes in the middle of the night. What will happen to these two people in such an intimate, in such a compromising setting? Boaz is startled, and not being able to see Ruth in the dark, asks who she is. This is Ruth's opportunity to let her plea be known, and she does so. Boaz could have been angry and rejected her plea, but instead was generous and offered her a blessing and acceptance. Here is the highlight, the core of what was going on in this story. Clearly, there were legal matters to be concluded in order for him to become this bereaved family's guardian redeemer. Elimelech would have had property which would have passed to his sons, but on their death it was unlikely that that property was to pass to Naomi or Ruth. It may have done, but we're uncertain. Whoever had been employed to look after the estate would require payment for it to be returned to the family in any case, and this nearest relative, who remains unnamed here, probably did not want the financial burden of settling the estate and taking on the women. We'll look at that in more detail next week. Boaz, in his generosity, is so willing, and sets about settling the legal claims in order to smooth the path forward that very day. He is obviously moved both by the local reputation that Ruth has earned in the community as being a woman of integrity, and that she had not run after a much younger husband, as Boaz was probably old enough to be her father. Her concern was clearly not just for herself, but for Naomi also in all of this. Her care for Naomi is deep and startling. And so Ruth's request to have the bed covers spread over her, we can read as a metaphor for her, for his care covering her like a wing of protection. And Boaz is very happy to oblige, despite the ongoing financial cost, financial risk to him of looking after not only Ruth, but Naomi. He knew what was entailed. It was a great solution to a desperate situation brought about through two risks being taken. And a final question for us. What risks do we need to take to help turn other desperate situations in people's lives into vectors of hope? As a church, we've heard of some desperate situations. We've heard of Pastor Alexander in Dnipro in the Ukraine, injuring himself with an axe accidentally, causing financial hardship for him and the community he serves. It's a risk. We take it to help. What is there locally that we need to take risks in order to transform desperate situations? Well, perhaps let's take a moment to think about that, reflect on that as we pray now. Let's pray, and next week, tune in for the next thrilling episode. Almighty God, thank you that you took the risk of sending your Son Jesus for us. The risk of rejection, of brutality at human hands, all of which were realized on the cross. And yet that deeper love repaired humanity forever. Thank you that we can know your deeper love today. Thank you that the story of Ruth here expresses that deeper love through ordinary people, you at work in their lives, telling a much bigger story of you at work in your world. And we see the costly risks that Boaz and Ruth and Naomi all took in this story. And we ask, Lord, what extravagant risks are you asking us to take as we serve you and as we respond to desperate situations in our world today? Open our eyes and our hearts and our minds to those possibilities, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And remember, take the risk, and God will not let you down.